Seamount rubbed his chin with his mangled left hand. Lock Island was thoroughly familiar with that sorting-out-my-thoughts gesture, and he waited patiently. Then the Commodore cleared his throat.
"The thing is, sir," he began, "that I had this conversation with Sajin Merlin the last time he and the King were out here watching an exercise."
"What sort of conversation?"
Lock Island asked, just a tad warily. Conversations with Merlin Athrawes had a distinct tendency, he'd discovered, to go off in some very peculiar directions.
"Well, we were watching some of the 12-pounder crews training, and it occurred to me that with the new rifles, even the 12-pounders don't really have a significant range advantage over infantry."
"They don't?"
Lock Island blinked in surprise.
"I thought you told me they had a maximum range of almost 1,600 yards."
"Yes, sir, they do, with round shot, which is the least effective round against an infantry target. Canister range is substantially shorter than that, though. And, sir, with all due respect, finding clear ranges 1,600 yards long is going to be more problematic in a land battle than it is at sea. At sea, we don't really have to worry about things like ridge lines, trees, and ravines."
"I see."
Lock Island nodded again, this time more slowly, as he remembered his own thought of only minutes before.
"Another one of those things sea officers don't know about from personal experience, I see."
"It's not quite as bad as the Commodore might seem to be suggesting, my lord," Cleric said.
Lock Island looked at him, and the Brigadier shrugged.
"Oh, I'm not saying it won't be a problem, my lord. I'm just saying that finding firing lanes 2 miles long isn't going to be all that difficult as long as we make good use of things like hilltops, or, much as the farmers are going to hate it, cropland and pastures."
"The Brigadier's right about that, of course," Seamount agreed. "But even without the question of terrain features, there's still the fact that the effective range of rifles can match or exceed the effective range of grape or canister. If a battery's exposed to the fire of a couple of hundred rifles, it's going to lose its gunners in short order."
"That's true enough, my lord,"
Cleric said a touch more grimly.
"I take it this is going somewhere?"
Lock Island said mildly.
"Actually, it is, sir." Seamount shrugged. "As I say, Merlin and the King were watching the artillery demonstration, and I raised the same point with him. You see, I'd been thinking about the new muskets. It occurred to me that if we could increase their range and accuracy by rifling them, why shouldn't it be possible to rifle artillery as well?"
Lock Island's eyebrows rose. That idea had never occurred to him at all. Probably, he thought, because he was still too busy being so impressed by the revolutionary changes which had already overtaken the naval ordnance with which he'd grown up. Trunnions, bagged powder charges, carronades, the increase in shipboard artillery's lethality was enormous. Yet, even with the new guns, sea battles tended to be fought at relatively low ranges. Longer than before the new guns, perhaps, but still far shorter than the theoretical range of their artillery might have suggested. One of the new long 30-pounders had a maximum range of well over 2 miles, for example, but no gunner was going to hit a ship-sized target at that distance from a moving deck, no matter how accurate his artillery piece might theoretically be. But the ground didn't move. So what sort of accuracy and execution might be possible for a land-based rifled artillery piece?
"And what did Sajin Merlin have to say in response to this fascinating speculation of yours, Alfred?"
"He said he didn't see any reason why it shouldn't be possible."
Seamount met Lock Island's eyes for a moment, and both of them smiled slightly.
"He did suggest, however, that bronze probably wouldn't be the best material for rifled artillery pieces. As he pointed out, bronze is a soft metal, sir. Even if we can figure out a way to make a shot take the rifling in the first place, a bronze gun's rifling grooves wouldn't last very long."
"No, I can see that."
Lock Island discovered that he was rubbing his own chin in a gesture very like Seamount's.
"Master Hausman told me he was making good progress with iron guns," he said after a moment.
He is, sir.
Seamount nodded.
They're heavier, and there are still some of what Merlin calls quality control issues that haven't been completely solved. Despite that, I think we'll be able to begin arming ships with iron guns instead of bronze within the next few months, or possibly even sooner. But that brings up another problem. The pressure inside a rifle's barrel is higher than the pressure inside a smoothbore musket's barrel, because the bullet seals the barrel and traps more of the force of the exploding powder behind it. That's one reason rifles have more range.
And if the pressure inside a rifled artillery piece increases, and the piece is made out of iron, not bronze, we are likely to see more burst guns, since iron is more brittle than bronze,
Lock Island said. That's what I'm afraid of, sir, Seamount agreed. I can't be certain of how much it will go up, because I don't know if the bore will be sealed as efficiently in a rifled cannon as in a rifled musket. Too much depends on how we finally figure out a way to do it for me to even hazard a guess at this point. At the moment, I'm playing around with several different ideas, though, and I'm sure we can come up with a solution for the problem, assuming it actually arises eventually.